Good morning. I want to thank you again for inviting me here and for your very warm welcome. I'm discovering what a powerful blessing it is to pray so consciously for all of you and for all of our deepest desires, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me, for what good is it to gain the whole world and lose ourselves? What struck me about this reading is that it ends with a question, a really big question. I've heard this passage many times before, and it's often quoted. I also realize that in the past I've responded to myself, well, clearly that would not be a good thing, and moved on. But this time I decided to try to come up with a little better answer. Discernment and courage are closely linked. Discovering what words mean, especially holy words, what they really mean is hard work when we are seeking clarity not just about what they mean in general, but what they mean for me in my life. Seeking clarity is something I've done many times, often in complicated situations, where achieving clarity would mean taking action. And that's where the courage comes in, because taking action almost always requires being brave. I've had to ask organizational leaders who lost their way to leave. I've had to stand up and use my voice when the path of others veered off course. I, like many of you, have had the opportunity to stand up in my family, work, school, church, and tell the truth, to be brave. The process of discernment for me is a little like unpacking. First, the box needs to be opened, then everything has to be removed, all of it, all the way to the bottom. If what's in the box is unpleasant or messy, think of Pandora here, then this can be very hard indeed. Everything has to be sorted and divided into what stays and what goes, and even what stays has to be carefully identified until the task is done, until it is understood what will happen with what remains. Arriving at knowing what needs to happen is clarity. Doing what needs to happen is brave. Reading and rereading this passage, taking it apart piece by piece, was a long process for me. I lived with it in my head for days on end. I read others' insights. This is what remained after my unpacking. The cross that Jesus would bear came to him because his message threatened the power structure of the world in which he lived. The greatest commandment, love God with your whole heart and love your neighbor as yourself, was a breathtaking concept, sweeping away the distinctions between rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, sinners and those who saw themselves as the righteous. It was revolutionary, and revolutions seldom come without suffering. I believe that it is this same cross, the cross of revolution, that we are asked to carry today. It is this message of love, of God and of each other, that we are asked to carry into a world where corruption and exploitation and oppression are on the rise, in faraway lands and in our own backyards. A world where the excruciating sound of suffering is rising. A world where seeking the truth seems to have gone out of fashion. A world where resources are used increasingly to advance the agenda of the few at the expense of the many. Where fear is closing people's hearts the better to protect themselves. It is this version of the world, I believe, that the reading asks us to consider carefully before losing ourselves in all of it. In the pull of the metrics of worldly success, money, prestige, privilege, we are being called rather to embrace our deepest connection to God and to each other, to be measured by how well we care for each other, how often we stand up for justice, how bravely we act against the growing darkness of hate. The answer then to the question, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose ourselves, is all around us. Because in order to achieve the goal of worldly possession, we must let go of the greatest commandment. And this is to gain nothing at all, nothing but darkness. If this is what the words of Luke mean, what are we to do? We are meant to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, always. The world needs leadership, leadership grounded in this good of all. The opportunities for leadership, for being a witness to love, for providing signs of hope are all around us. They exist in each and every encounter we have with one another, at home, school, work, play. The thoughts we have, the words we use, the actions we take are all powerful when grounded in love. Many of these opportunities to act are simple but powerful. I'm in a book club, and maybe I've even read the book. When the talk turns to someone we all know, but the words are harsh and judgmental, I can participate, I can remain silent, or I can nudge the group towards love by reminding everyone that all the words we say are ultimately heard, sometimes quite literally in this digital age. Or there's the joke at the expense of a minority, or the turning away from a request for help, or the stubborn refusal to reconcile. These are all opportunities to act bravely with love. These realizations drew me to my favorite Irish writer, John O'Donohue, whose words on the Irish tradition of blessing fill a book. These words are so timely now as we experience firsthand the power of blessing through this novena. John felt that we must bless our world now, and that one of the ways in which we can do this is to respond to the call to be fully aware, leaving behind the things of this world and acting in justice and love. He writes, "We must have the courage to turn away from it all and come to kneel down before the poor, to discover what we must do, to find our way home." May we pray together that we might help each other to live in our true home, the home of eternal love, because that is where we will find courage and hope. That is where our deepest desires will be fulfilled.